On today's episode of Secrets to Scaling Your E-Commerce Brand, I had a chance to chat with Adrian Zimmerman from Ned. Oh, we had such a good conversation about some of his past history, some of the big opportunities that he's had in the past, which was really, really great to go through the ups and some of the big time downs that had happened with him. Guys, if you are on any sort of entrepreneurial journey and want to hear what it's actually like, you know, stuff that both Adrian and myself have both gone through, this is an episode that you will not want to miss. Guys, I seriously found the best app ever for creative testing. If you haven't used Motion yet, the creative analytics platform used by all of the top e-com D2C brands like Vuori, True Classic, The Farmer's Dog, Hexclad, and hundreds more to ship more winning ads, here's why you gotta try it out. Everybody knows that the right creative is the number one lever for success with paid ads. That is legitimately how you make money. But consistently shipping new winning creative, you're going to need media buyers and creative teams that are all actually on the same page or rowing in the same direction. As of right now, you're probably spending hours trying to just find, to like go back and forth with Google Sheets and your ad platforms and your tools. And then you're probably spending even more time plugging all of that back into different decks, all for the rest of your team to tell them what actually works. Or maybe you built your own automated solution using like Google Data Studio, Looker, Tableau, but it still can't deliver that tactical creative insights that you actually need to scale. Well, in a perfect world, you can have an elegant way to combine both the visual assets and that performance data so that media buyers can save time and creative teams can get all of the details that they need to make great ads all in one specific place. And that's where Motion comes in. And you guys know I talked about Motion a ton on this podcast. I love these guys. In seconds, you can build powerful visual reports using data from your ad accounts, including TikTok, Facebook or Meta, and YouTube as well. You can build these incredibly powerful visual reports using all of that data. You can then monitor your performance metrics and see your visual assets in the same platform. There's no need to go back and forth across multiple apps. You're finally going to have media buyers and creative teams all rowing in the same direction, working together to create and scale your next big winner. So if you're ready to learn how to use the best D2C and e-commerce creative tool out there, Motion, please go to motionapp.com and start your free trial. Guys, I am obsessed with this app. If any of you guys have sat down on calls with me, you'll know like it is the source of truth that I go to all of the time. Even better, because they are sponsoring the podcast this month, you get 50% off your first month when you mention myself, Jordan West, or Upgrowth Commerce. So again, go to motionapp.com onto today's episode. Hey guys, Jordan West back with another episode of Secrets to Scaling Your E-Commerce Brand. Oh, I'm looking forward to this conversation today, mostly based on the product, to be totally honest. I have a lot of product questions, which is something I don't get into a ton on this pod, but I'm looking forward to. I just think this is a very unique area. I'm actually sitting on the board of another company that is helping, especially in the sleep portion of this. And I'm really looking forward to just having a bit of a conversation around a lot of this stuff. So without further ado, I have Adrian Zimmerman from Ned on the podcast. Adrian, welcome.
Hi, Jordan. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All the way from Boulder, Colorado. Beautiful Boulder, Colorado, which I absolutely adore that area. Adrian, for people who don't know anything about you, tell us just a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah. So I'm, I guess what you'd call a serial entrepreneur. You know, it's about 20 years now that I've been in the startup world, and I've lived many lives in that span and many careers in that span as well. Started my career in venture capital out in Hong Kong, working in sustainable development, agriculture, and very quickly realized I just wanted to be on the other side of the table. And my father was an entrepreneur, my uncle, I was kind of surrounded by business owners. So it was always just kind of natural to go that path. So I really started my career in startups when I was about 22, launched my first business, got my ass kicked. And basically every experience since then has been business school in itself. You know, not the romantic thing you read about on the cover of Fast Company or Entrepreneur. It's always a grind. But really, out of the ashes of my first startup, I got into digital media kind of by accident, but co-founded a men's publication called BroBible.com. It was men's lifestyle and entertainment.
Cool.
Launched a couple of guys, and it's really about music and sports and party culture and really doing things that at that point in my life were very just kind of innate in a way.
Yeah.
I could understand it, and building a business around it became pretty intuitive. And we grew that company to about 15 million readers a month, then got acquired by a group out of Los Angeles called Uproxx Media.
Wow, so up to 15 million readers a month.
Yeah.
That's a pretty decent, like, that's a pretty decent sized media property just for anybody who's listening to this. I love media. I love looking at acquiring media because I think it's one of the most brilliant places that you can do, especially as a D2C brand, is like, just go and acquire media, acquire the traffic. Like, and lots of people undervalue these. They do not undervalue. Well, I mean, most likely you'll tell me if they undervalued your 15 million, but.
Yeah, well, I mean, hindsight's 2020, right? And it was a unique time in digital publishing where when we started it and launched it, Facebook was not driving traffic at that point, right? It was about link trading and SEO and really building community. And by the time we sold it, social publishing had become this behemoth, right? Mm. Like you could go from 50 million readers a month by just making some posts go viral, right? So, which is actually a good segue because in 2012, I started advising a couple of guys out of the UK who had just launched a publication coincidentally called The Lad Bible. Always been this argument.
That is big.
Way bigger than Bro Bible was, right? So like 50 million was big. You know, Lad Bible guys within a year were one of the biggest publications in Europe and today are one of the biggest publications in the world. In aggregate, I think they have something like over 100 million followers across their social platforms. But it was really just this extension of what we were doing at Bro Bible and storytelling and connecting with people. And at that point, I had figured out how to build a business around it rather than just audience. And that's how I was helping them, was to commercialize their business.
I just want to step in for one sec here because I think this is hilarious. I've always called the Lad Bible the LID Bible. I don't know why. Like, I think it's because it's all capitalized, the LAD, that I'm always like, oh, interesting. Is that what it is? I'm really glad you told me that after all these years.
Yeah, it's Slack. Yeah, but really great guys over there. And they actually just took it public, I think last year.
Oh, did they? Oh, wow.
Something like
awesome.
£380 million on the London Stock Exchange. Wow. So herein lies the story of where my career kind of took a bit of a pivot, though. So after we had sold Bro Bible and I was advising Lad Bible and I was running a new segment of Uproxx's business, I'd found myself in New York City at the time. I'd been there almost 10 years, had some money in my pocket, had this kind of reputation. I had my bachelor pad. I had shiny toys, all the things that I'd like set out to check off in my 20s.
I'm imagining you had some good cash in the bank after the exit and doing all of that. And I can also imagine, let me just try and get into your head a little bit here. I can imagine that at this point, you probably felt fairly invincible. Is that true?
Well,
I feel like anytime I win, I'm like, all I do is win no matter what. And then you're like, oh no, I'm not winning.
Well, yeah. So that's right. Yeah. And that lasted for a couple of years, I'd say. This feeling of like, okay, I got it. I made it. And then after a couple of years of doing that, where it was like work, date, party, like all this stuff, just kind of the dopamine triggers in a way, came out the back end of it, just kind of starting to question some things, right? Like this feeling of almost my life is not my own. And time was just ticking by and I was feeling these little bits of burnout, but not really having any tools to deal with it, right? So it's this kind of place of helplessness and just kind of floating. And all I knew how to do was work harder and party harder and date more and like all this stuff. So I ended up actually joining the guys out in the Lad Bible full time in 2015, moved out to the UK, left New York, which is my home in 10 years. And as I think about it after the fact, it was definitely this Hail Mary effort to just like reinvigorate my psyche. And I'd say it worked for about a month. And then I just started waking up that same feeling, except now I was in Manchester in the United Kingdom, which is like, it's not London. It was just like a very big change of pace. And again, didn't have the tools to deal with it. So I just kind of suppressed it and kept going. And it was about 6 months into my gig there where we were having a quarterly review and was giving my very standard presentation sitting as executive director of the business. And about a few words into the presentation, just had like a full-on panic attack in front of the entire company. Like it was hands shaking. My voice went.
In a boardroom kind of setting?
Whole office type setting. Like, you know, 75 chairs turned, staring at me, just like having this out, which is awful, right? Like it just totally shattered that perception of invincibility. It was super embarrassing, but also really scary. Like I'd never experienced anything like that before.
Probably super out of control too, hey? Like if you're like
the
kind of person who just does things and gets shit done all the time and you're like, what is my body doing to me? Yeah,
totally. Yeah. Yeah. And the next day I broke out in shingles.
It's insane how this whole idea, and I know it's quite a prevalent idea in counseling, like the body keeps the score, right? It's like, we're really good at our brains, right? Our brains being like, no, not stress, not stress. I actually had a situation like this yesterday. I actually had a lawsuit come in and I was like, no, big deal. Our lawyer will deal with it. I don't even have to deal with it. And yet my body was like, actually big deal.
Totally. Yeah. I know that feeling. And I mean, that's one of those things of entrepreneurship. This is kind of a little bit of a tangent, but you live in and you know, it can flip by the second. It's not even weeks or months phases. It's like, it could be 1 second, like high on your horse, next second, like under a rock, being holy shit. So back to the story, shortly after my whole panic attack and really what culminated in more of just like a full on burnout, I got pushed out of the Lad Bible, like not in a malicious way, but it just wasn't the right fit and they knew it and I was reluctant to know it, but I more or less got fired and just found myself at this crossroads where it was like, okay, well, get some Xanax and keep going or step back and really reevaluate. So I was very fortunate. I was able to choose the latter route and didn't really know what that meant at the time, but thought, okay, just like probably seen this movie before, like buy a one-way ticket to Nepal and see how this goes. And, you know, thinking like maybe I'd go away for a couple of months. And what it turned into was 2 years of just completely checking out, traveling.
What a great movie that is, Adrian.
Yeah. It was transformative in every way. It allowed me to get some altitude on my life and understand all these imbalances and these, I would say, patterns, behaviors that were just kind of not necessarily helping me in any way, or certainly not making life sustainable, right? Mm-hmm. So through that time, I was writing, I was doing photography, and really just exploring all these parts of my life that I'd left unexplored. And it was about 30 countries in the 2 years, just like total freedom in a way. And without getting into the long story there, it's like got back the States. And really, like, if I could sum it up in 3 ways, it was one, understanding just how essential the outdoors and nature are to human spirit, how not feeling a connection there can create such imbalance. Two was like great appreciation for simplicity and just the idea of living with less choices, all these things. And also very simple skills like chopping wood. What a great activity, right? It's immediate gratification. It's things like that. Yeah. Cleaning a fist. These skills that were so super simple had nothing to do with sitting in front of a screen. And the third was really just a real sense of human connection. And this really started with building a true sense of honesty with myself. I think going through that experience, it really forced me to go inwards and be like, okay, what the fuck? Like,
yeah,
what were you not listening to that was creating all of this like turmoil under the surface? And I think that honesty with myself led to honesty with others and like true honesty, right? 10 years ago, I probably never would have told somebody I had a panic attack, right? Like, it was just the ability to be human and be honest. And through that honesty with others creates like real human connection. And all of a sudden, I think, honestly, for the first time in my life, I was feeling like people were seeing me and I was seeing them. And it was just a really impactful thing for me at that point in my life. So all that to say, land back in the US, I'm back in New York City and consulting for a big fintech company and basically falling back into old patterns and realized like this can't happen. So I was on a road trip after a friend's wedding in Utah. Went to Boulder to visit some friends. I also went to college here. And it was just a morning drive through the mountains where I was like, fuck yeah, it's time to come back here. And within a month, I was here. And then that was really like the first concrete step into what became Ned. You know, my co-founder was spending that summer driving around Colorado, sleeping outside most nights and, you know, meeting with farmers because he was just like interested in sourcing for natural remedies. And then I was landing here with this kind of like free agent mentality of like, I'm ready for the next thing. And all these synchronistic events later, we came together, been friends for 10 years, dating back to New York, and decided like, okay, let's start something.
And this is where we find Ned?
This is where we find Ned.
Talk about that. So like going through the kind of experience that you went through, I can imagine it sounds like quite an awakening kind of experience to yourself and realizing that a lot of the stuff that we do is just bullshit and these things that we're going after are bullshit. And then you go and you realize, I love that term that you used, altitude, right? Like rather than perspective, just even this like, oh my gosh, number one, I'm so small. And number two, I think what I love about that altitude line is almost like that, oh my gosh, I can see his face. Carl Sagan line about the little blue ball, right? And oh my gosh, we're all just connected, right? Like I hear your story, Adrian. I've also done a lot of plant medicine work over the years too, where it's just, we're so connected. Oh my gosh, does no one else realize this incredible connection? Hearing your story, Adrian, I'm like, no, that's my story. I know that story. I haven't experienced it, but it's really interesting. So why Ned? Where did that come from? Where did that sort of birth from for you?
Hey guys, before we get back to today's episode, I just wanted to tell you about an app that I am absolutely loving, and it's the Motion app. It is the most incredible way to see all of your creative insights in one place. Our team at Upgrowth is using it absolutely religiously on every single account. The brands that we own, we're using it on every single account. It's an absolute no-brainer. I know a lot of you have actually reached out to me asking if I can demo it for you. And maybe I should make a Loom video for you guys or something like that. But I highly recommend going over to Motion app upgrowth.com. Mention Jordan West or mention Upgrowth Commerce and you're going to get 50% off of your first month. And that's after the free trial. Again, that's motionapp.com. Go check it out, guys.
Yeah, sure. Well, it really started with a mission. And before we had a brand, before we had any products, Rhett, my co-founder and I, we went on a little mountaineering adventure outside of Boulder here, got stuck in a blizzard on the way up. But what came out of that was a real focus on what the values business that we were going to create would be. And then really the mission, right? And the mission, as it was stated then and has not changed, is to help people feel better and live better through the powers of the natural world, right? So what that really means to us is that through education, through content, and then of course, through the world's best natural remedies, we're helping people kind of unlock their innate abilities, right? So it's using things we source from nature, plants, herbs, roots, minerals, fungi, algae, anything that we can source from the natural world that can help us build a better first line of defense before prescription and over-the-counter drugs. So these are things like sleep, stress, focus, vitality, immunity, all these kind of core tangible functions.
I wanted to step in here for a second because I think that there's something interesting going on in this space right now. I think that there has been in the last, let's say 10 to, I don't even know how many years, there's been this real snooty look at natural remedies, right? There's been this sort of look, what one of my best friend and his wife are doctors. And I bring up anything that is not a medicine, like an over-the-counter or whatever medicine, and they're like, they don't believe it. You know, if it doesn't have a study attached to it, then we're not into it, right? Well, how much does it cost to do randomized control trials? Like millions of dollars at a minimum, right? To actually pass through these sort of stringent requirements that they have. Does that mean that these natural remedies are not good? Of course not. And that's why I love Tim Ferriss, Andrew Huberman, these guys that have come in and are like, yeah, we might not have data, right? But what we have is anecdata, right? I love that they've coined that term. Actually, we can piece together a bunch of these stories and we can actually create some data around it. They may not be like RCT level trials, but we know that this actually is helping people. It's interesting, like on the sleep side, now that we're all wearing, I mean, this is the most purchased watch in the world, right? Watch, not even smartwatch, just the most purchased watch in the world. We can actually do very good A-B tests on these things, right? We can do an A-B test of taking nothing and then taking something like what you have and seeing, does my REM and my deep sleep get better? Okay, there you go.
Yeah, and people can do it themselves. Like they don't need to take somebody else's word for it, right? So I think that example, trackables, is such a great one, especially for something as measurable as sleep.
Yeah, you know, stress too though, Adrian, right? I'm thinking of some of the newer iterations of Apple Watch, right? Like throughout the day will prompt me like, hey, what's your stress level like? And do a quick check-in, right? That's about as good as you're going to get in any sort of other trial to do with stress, unless they're going to be actually measuring hormones. So walk me through what it's been like now. You've had a lot of different Adrians. You know, this is Adrian 7.0 or whatever this version of Adrian is right now. Going into a business like this and bootstrapping, right? What has that been like as you're continuing to grow? And I have one more point before this, guys. Is I love that you started talking about values, mission, and vision first. As you guys know, I talk about EOS, Entrepreneurial Operating System, all the time on here. And where does it start? You cannot start an EOS without values, vision, and mission. That's just essential to everything within EOS. That's how you need to be running things. And it's not a checklist item. It's like, what is the DNA of this company? Why are we even doing this? Are we doing this for money? And most people, you know, early stage entrepreneurs are doing it for money. Right at the end of the day, it's like, oh, sweet, I'm going to be an owner and maybe I'll have a big exit and sweet, and then I'm going to buy my Lambo. And it's like, really? People like Adrian can come in and be like, I've done it. It actually didn't satisfy that thing within me. So now that you're at this stage, why are you doing it? And what does it look like to grow something like this?
Yeah, well, so it's funny. Like, I don't think the intention day one was like, okay, we're going to bootstrap this forever. And I don't know that we even thought that far ahead. And that's kind of the point, right? It wasn't about what this is going to be. It was more about just creating something that we wanted to create and something that we thought would offer value to other people based on our own experiences, right? And part of that experience is this inability to understand and be aware of the impact of my daily choices on my mental and physical health, right? So I think just naturally it was, okay, we have this, we started with one product. It was, how can we do this, you know, adhering to our values? And I think because our values are set in stone from day one, which we have like 10 core culture principles, things like keep it simple and really do right by the customer in the sense of like always be thinking about the customer. So taking these values, it became our North Star in a way where decisions became really easy. It was either do it that cheap, inefficient way, or do it for scale or growth hacking or whatever it is, or do it the right way.
It's if you don't have values, right? If you don't have values to go off, you are just going to go to the lowest common denominator, which is generally like make as much money as possible, right? Extract as much as we can from our customers while hopefully giving them something in return. Like that really without values, I mean, that's what happens, right? That's just our nature.
Yeah. And I think I was so unattached from any sort of like material ambition. Not to say I didn't want it to do well and grow and scale. It was always in my mind. But by the end of my travels, I was sleeping in a tent 6 nights out of 7 and hitchhiking everywhere and spending probably $3 to $5 a day. Not because that's what I had. It was because I kind of liked the simplicity. So all that to say, you know, between Rhett and myself, we put in 38K into the business in total. And that's all the money that's gone into it.
Wow.
Right? So it became this exercise of like, okay, how can we really create a real business? A real business with real product, with real customers that wasn't based on all this bullshit. And I don't want to say media was all bullshit. It's obviously media is a very powerful business, but we're dealing with eyeballs and trackable eyeballs and all this stuff, where I really like the idea of just like we create a product, we sell it for a profit, and then use those profits to grow the business.
Yeah.
Right. So like it's an overly simplistic version of it, but it really allowed us to just focus on what we were doing. We weren't looking in the rear view. We weren't looking at what other people were doing. It was like, let's do it our way. Let's just try this. And we were very fortunate that we just found that this was working and we were able to continue to just feed the machine that like, okay, responsible unit economics, doing right by our customers, like all of this stuff was working. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, year one, we did over $1 million in revenue, right? Like it wasn't planned. I think if we had investors looking over our shoulders being like, you got to fucking do $1 million, like it would have been a lot more challenging. But it was just very natural for the growth of the business.
Yeah. And also like after going through the multiple iterations that you've had of yourself over the years, you're probably like, no, I don't want that pressure.
Totally.
I feel like I've learned many of these lessons over the years, and yet I still sometimes repeat them over and over until it's like, okay, all right.
Yeah. So I was just going to say on that point, it's like, none of this is so binary. Like I was once broken, now I'm fixed. I'll certainly still find myself in super high stress situations. And I take all our products and I still find myself stressed and I still sometimes have sleepless nights, but at least I'm aware of it now. And I kind of understand the things that I'm doing that kind of lead to that. Right.
So yeah.
All that to say, it's like, we've never set the expectation that our products are silver bullets and that if you drink 6 cups of coffee and a bottle of wine in a day, that you're just going to sleep like shit. You can't fix that. And it's really about lifestyle choices. It's about if you're having a shitty day, it doesn't mean that the first stop should be the pharmacy and get some Xanax. It's like, go take a walk during your lunch break, get some sunshine on your face, get outside, feel your feet on the grass. And like, these are things that scientifically proven to reduce stress levels and reduce cortisol in the system and let your nervous system just chill out.
It's really interesting in the culture that we live in, right? That sometimes I feel like there's this tendency to feel bad about doing stuff like that, right? That, oh, I'm not being, it's interesting. Like I own multiple companies and am the boss. And yet I feel this, like I was chatting with my coach a little while ago and we really came to this conclusion that all of best ideas, the way that all of the stuff that I do works is when I go mountain biking. And so we put it in. I luckily live in beautiful British Columbia. I mean, I'd say I probably have even more places to bike than you do in Boulder there. Like outside of my door, within half an hour, I have 9 different world-class mountains to go to. It's just like phenomenal. Yeah. And yet there's this guilt, you know, around this for some reason. And I don't know what exactly it is. And it's like, wait, that's the medicine, right? Like that's the thing that we actually need. And yet we'll just pop a pill to make it all better, you know? I don't think we're doing ourselves a service as number one as entrepreneurs, because I think we're under a ton of stress as entrepreneurs, right? Like this whole idea of productivity, I think it's wrong. I don't think that we've got it. I don't think we've nailed it down yet, because those are actually the things that matter. You know, the other day during the middle of the day, I took the same advice and I was like stressed out. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go listen to my book in the hot tub. And I'll tell you within 5 minutes, and this isn't why I did it, within 5 minutes, I solved whatever problem I was working on. Like just being out of it.
Well, creating space, and like you can't be a mouse churning butter or whatever that analogy is. I don't know if I got that right. But yeah, I think it's important that we do at least pay attention to these things, even if we don't always do them right, at least having awareness around them. And I think what we have proven with our business and our bootstrap approach is that we are filling a need, right? Like this isn't just us we're dealing with. These sleep issues and stress issues and burnout and all this stuff. So these are just the ailments that come with modern life. And a lot of it does have to do with nutrient deficiency, nutritional deficiencies. Like one of our best selling products is a magnesium product. And lo and behold, like 75% of Americans don't get enough magnesium.
That's right. Which has apparently led to a lot of sleep issues, right?
Totally, yeah. It's these critical imbalances. And this is why there's a pill for that. It's just the wrong mentality, because it doesn't mean you just don't sleep well and that's your identity. It's like there's probably some imbalance that you're dealing with. And by just addressing that, you will sleep better.
Yeah.
I think filling a need is just another piece of bootstrapping a business. Is you can't force it down anybody's throats. You need to create something that people want and need, and then you figure out how to monetize it, right?
Yeah. Which sounds like you guys have done that. Adrian, I got to ask you the question. I'm realizing we're running out of time here. I got to ask you the question I ask everyone that comes on the pod. What is your secret to scaling?
So I would say with this business that there are no tricks, right? There are no tricks to scaling. It's about doing the work, doing like laying the bricks. And that's really been a great lesson in this business, is that it is possible. So it's about some of those values. It's doing the right thing by your customers. It's focusing on transparency and quality and really just in essence becoming bulletproof, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's no ahas or gotchas that somebody could hurt our business with, because we're just super transparent about everything we do.
Yeah.
So I would say very, very basically, those are the principles with Ned in which we use to scale. But on a broader scale, when we talk about entrepreneurship as a whole, I think there are a few lessons that I've definitely learned the hard way. As I mentioned, getting my ass kicked with the first business and many times since. You know, one is keeping it simple. Just focus on the thing you can do really well and go deep on that. The rest will really take care of itself. Second, sticking to your values. Definitely a lesson learned with Ned. Third is invest in what's working, not in trying to fix what is not working, right? So it's so often we can find ourselves being like, oh shit, this feature or this product that we thought was going to be that inflection point isn't working. Like, let's fix it. Take a step back, look at what is working and just like double down on that. Mm. Put your focus on that, and that will absolutely create dividends. And then finally, it's like good people, right? That we all have so many deficiencies. And if we don't have good, honest, hardworking, smart people around us, we will just kill ourselves in the process. So those are my principles that I've learned the hard way.
Adrian, thank you so much for your time today. What an awesome conversation. I really, really appreciated you coming on here talking about this. I mean, guys, this is the important stuff, right? Like, you know, this is what will allow you, whether through business ups and downs and life ups and downs, really having that solid, stable foundation. I mean, this is what it's about at the end of the day. So Adrian, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for coming on, being so transparent and real on here. Where can people connect with you and find out more about Ned?
Yeah, thanks, Jordan. And really appreciate you having me on. And hopefully this offers some value to some people. So you can find Ned at helloned.com. That's our website. If you're interested in connecting with me, you can find me on LinkedIn. The spelling of my name will be in the show notes, I'm sure.
Yes,
it's a
yes.
Funny one. So yeah, always welcome people reaching out if they have anything they want to chat about. So hello, Ned, or LinkedIn.
Awesome. Guys, everything that Adrian and I talked about today will be down in the show notes. If there is a link to it, we are obsessive with our show notes, making sure that you guys get everything that you need from this conversation so that it's even more than just a podcast. So Adrian, thank you again so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you, Jordan. Take care.
Awesome.
Hey guys, just wanted to say thanks again so much for listening to the podcast. If I could ask one favor of you, it would be to share this with your other e-commerce store owner friends. We want everyone in the e-com space to be listening to this podcast, and lots of you guys already are, and we really, really appreciate that. One last thing before you go as well is we are offering to our podcast listeners a free e-commerce growth plan where we go from strategy to sale with your brand in this e-commerce growth plan. So feel free to go to www.upgrowthcommerce.com/grow and apply for a free growth plan today. Thank you all again so much for listening.